everyone. My name's Randy Nelson. I am a former graduate student at North Dakota State University, and I would like to recognize my co-advisors, Dr. Esther McGinnis and Dr. Aaron Day. Both are also from North Dakota State University. The presentation that I'll be giving today is the evaluation of rain garden sedges to cyclical flood and drought. And before I get into the research, I just want to give a little background on rain gardens. And generally speaking, a rain garden is simply a depression in the landscape that will hold rainwater from a storm event. And that rainwater would be coming off some type of an impervious surface, possibly from a rooftop, maybe from a driveway. Or in this particular photo, it's actually coming from the road. As you can see here, there is no curb system here. And when the rain falls, it would be running into this rain garden. Stormwater, as we all know, can contain some pollutants such as petroleum products and also fertilizers such as nitrogen and phosphorus. And phosphorus, of course, if it's in high enough quantities, can cause algae blooms in both ponds and lakes. As the rainwater moves into the rain garden, it's either going to infiltrate, evaporate, or transpire in that rain garden. At the same time, some of those contaminants are going to be removed. Rain gardens, as you can see here, are planted with a variety of plants, perennials, sometimes woody shrubs, even small trees. And it is important that the plants that are used in a rain garden can withstand both flooding as well as drought. One common group of plants that are often recommended for rain gardens are sedges. And here's a list of the seven sedge species that we used. And sedges belong to the genus Carex, and it's in the Cyperaceae family. In fact, there are about 2,000 species of Carex worldwide. The seven species that we used in this research are all native to the Midwest United States. They're also commonly available through local native plant nurseries. And they also encompass all five of the wetland indicator categories, which I'll go over here in just a minute. The reason that we wanted to have all five represented is we wanted to find out if we could observe any differences among those wetland indicator categories. And I should also mention, too, that these seven species have all been recommended for rain gardens, although at the time we did this research, there was no scientific papers that suggested or that would support their use in rain gardens. That was the objective of our study, to subject these to cyclical flood and drought to find out how they would perform. Going into the sedges, porcupine sedge and palm sedge are both obligate wetland plants, meaning that they almost always occur in wetlands. Yellow fox sedge and gray sedge are facultative wetland plants, meaning that they usually occur in wetlands, but they may occur in non-wetlands. Gray sedge, Plains oval sedge, which is a facultative, meaning that it can occur in wetlands as well as non-wetlands. Springle sedge, which is a facultative upland plant, meaning that it usually occurs in wetlands, but may also occur in, usually occurs in non-wetlands, but may occur in wetlands. And finally, Pennsylvania sedge, which is an upland plant, meaning that it almost never occurs in a wetland. That being said, sedges are also used in the ornamental landscape. And the following slide here shows all seven sedge species, and these were all taken in the landscape. And starting at the top left, we have porcupine sedge, is showing the foliage. And here's a close-up of the seed head, which is quite ornamental for a lot of the sedges. Moving on, we have palm sedge, three photos of palm sedge right here. We have yellow fox sedge, gray sedge, springle sedge, plains oval sedge in the bottom left, and finally, Pennsylvania sedge. We used a commercially available clone for each of the sedge species, and then we propagated it through crown division to get enough plants for a research study. Our sedges were planted into 2.8-liter nursery containers, and we used a mix of Metro Mix 902 and sand. The reason we chose that mix is that it was easy to wash from the roots when the study was done. We allowed our plants to establish for 3 months in these containers, and you could grab a hold of a plant and actually pull it out, and there was enough root mass there that would hold that substrate together. Our experiment was conducted in a greenhouse on the North Dakota State University campus in Fargo, and it was run from November of 2015 through June of 2016. And during that time period, we repeated the study 3 times. We used a randomized complete block design, and we used a factorial arrangement with 3 replicates. And we had 7 species, two flood durations. We had 2-day and 7-day, and the reason we chose those is that rain gardens should drain within 2 days, and that's why the 2-day was selected. But we all know we can have frequent rain events closer together than 2 days, and sometimes rain gardens fail. For one reason or another, the soil does not drain, and that's why we chose 7 days as another treatment. And we chose three drought set points of 15%, 10%, or 5% volumetric water content. And the story behind those three is going into this big study, we didn't know how sedges would tolerate drought. We ran a very small preliminary study just looking at what would happen if we allowed these sedges to dry down. And what we found is that we first noticed wilting in these sedges when they dried down to that 10% volumetric water content. And that would be equivalent to about three bars. And our 15%, we didn't notice any damage, and that was about 0.4 bars. And quite a bit of damage at 5%, and that's 148 bars. So the 5% volumetric water content treatment was extremely dry. And we also used we had a control as a comparison, which was kept at 15%. During this study, the sedges started out as being flooded for either 2 days or 7 days. And once that flooding period was done, they were allowed to dry down to their respective volumetric water content set point. And we took those readings using a GS3 sensor from Decagon devices connected to a portable data logger. And every morning I would go out, take those readings, and once the drought set point was reached, they would then go back to their flooding cycle for either 2 days or 7 days. This process was repeated until each said species, when the 7-day flood of that species and the 5% volumetric water content treatment went through 4 cycles of flood and drought. So flooded for 7 days, allowed to dry down to that 5% volumetric water content, and that was repeated again until it was done 4 times. And then that species was removed. The data that we collected from this study is listed right here. For this presentation, I'm only going to be talking about shoot count, shoot mass, root mass, total biomass, which is shoot mass and root mass combined, and the visual damage rating. Our data, all except the visual damage rating, were expressed as a percent of the control and was analyzed. Our three runs were combined together, and we used analysis of variance using the mixed procedure in SAS. Run was considered our random variable, and we used Tukey's for mean separation. Looking at this first slide, I just want to make a couple of comments. First of all, if you look along here, everything is going to be expressed as percent of the control, and the reason we did that is these sedges have different growth habits. Some were kind of small, some were rather large, and to standardize everything, we were expressing as a percentage of the control. Also, beneath every sedge species, we have the wetland indicator rating there. And when you first, oh, and I should also mention too, that for each of these species, this is a 5%, 10%, and 15% treatment, and that's the same for all of those. When you first look at this, you can see that the facultative and the facultative wetland species on the left-hand side, regardless of their of the drought set point, they were all positive. Whereas the obligates, the upland, and the facultative upland, at least one of the treatments, were negative. Although the differences were not always significant. Looking a little bit more at this, we can see that for porcupine sedge, palm sedge, and Pennsylvania sedge, the 5% volumetric water content treatment had significantly less, had significantly fewer shoot counts compared to their 10% and 15% treatments. Looking at shoot mass by species, we can see here that Plains oval sedge was significantly higher compared to all of the sedges, whereas Sprengel sedge was significantly lower compared to all the sedges, with the exception of porcupine sedge. Looking at shoot mass by flood, we can see that the 2-day flood had significantly less shoot mass compared to the 7-day flood treatment. And going over to shoot mass by drought, we can see that the 5% volumetric water content treatment had significantly less shoot mass compared to the 10% and the 15%, which we expected that as the substrate dried out, we were going to have less shoot mass. And there was no significant difference between the 10 and the 15% treatments. Looking at root mass, we had a species by flood interaction here, and very similar to shoot count, we can see that regardless of the flood duration, the facultative wetland species were all positive, again, regardless of flood duration, whereas the obligate upland and the facultative upland were negative, although the differences were not always significant. When we look a little bit closer at this, we can see that the interaction occurs for Pennsylvania sedge, where we found the two-day flood had significantly more root mass compared to the seven-day flood, which does make sense because Pennsylvania sedge, again, is an upland sedge where it would likely do better with less flooding. Looking at root mass by drought, again, very similar to the other data, as the volumetric water content of that substrate dried out, we had less root mass, with the 5% being significantly less compared to the 10% and the 15%, with no differences, again, between the 10% and 15%. Looking at total biomass, again, which is the addition of shoot mass and root mass, very similar, where our facultative and our facultative wetland sedges were all positive, and the obligates upland and facultative upland were not. But again, the differences are not always significant. Looking at total biomass by drought, again, what we expected and very similar to the other results, as that volumetric water content dried out, we had less total biomass, where our 5% volumetric water content treatment significantly less compared to the 10% and 15%, with no differences between the 10% and 15% treatments. Before I move on to the visual damage rating, I just want to give you an idea as to how that was conducted. We're looking at palm sedge right here, and if you can see this little white block over here, in the middle of that, that's a half a meter, just to give you a height. When the species was done, that seven-day flood, 5% volumetric water content treatment went through four cycles, they were removed. And when they were removed, I gave them a visual damage rating. A rating of 1 meant they had 0 to 25% dieback. A rating of 2 would be 26 to 50. Rating of 3, 51 to 75. Rating of 4, 76 to 100% dieback. And looking across here, we're looking at the two-day flood treatment, and we have the control over here on the far left, then 15%, 10%, and 5%. Beneath that are the actual visual ratings. And when you look at this, although the 5% treatment looks pretty tough, there's not a whole lot of living material here, you can see some green shoots that are still on it. The plant was still alive. With the visual damage rating, we did end up with a three-way interaction between species, flood, and drought. And it's kind of a messy slide. With this one, the green would be the two-day, and kind of like the orangish-brown is the seven-day flood. And it goes in order from 5%, 10%, 15% for two-day flood, and then seven-day flood, 5, 10, and 15. And when you look across here, the thing that pops out to me is that as long as the volumetric water content is at 10% or above, there were no differences in here. The sedges were quite tolerant of flooding and drought. Again, as long as that 10%, the volumetric water content was held at 10% in that substrate. As that was reduced down to 5%, that's where we started having differences. And I just want to highlight Plains Oval sedge. There's actually no differences among the treatments for Plains Oval sedge. And this next slide is showing a picture of the two-day flood. And we have a control on the left, and then 15%, 10%, and 5%. And although the 5%, when you look at it, mass-wise, it looks a bit smaller, but there's still a lot of green on that plant. And again, it was flooded for 2 days, and then it was allowed to dry down to that 5%, a very tough treatment. But a lot of life left in that plant, just to highlight how adaptable or how tolerant some of these sedge species were. In conclusion, the sedge species were far more adaptable than we originally thought. All the species performed well if the substrate volumetric water content did not drop below 10%. Drought reduced relative shoot count, shoot mass, root mass, and total biomass, and it decreased ornamental value. And sedges used in rain gardens may need supplemental irrigation during times of drought. And finally, the transition sedges, which would be the facultative wetlands, where you're moving from typically wetlands into maybe more of an upland environment, they were better able to handle cyclical flood and drought compared to our obligates, facultative uplands, and upland sedges. And we originally thought the obligate sedges would do better because they're typically recommended for rain gardens. However, we were really impressed with how the facultative and the facultative wetland sedges performed in our study. And our thought is that future research maybe could look at more of the facultative wetland species to see if there are more species out there that would perform well. And just to note, at most we used two species that were facultative wetland or facultative, and there's a lot of species of sedges, so in no way are we saying that facultative wetland would be the ones to use, just that based on the study, it would be worthwhile to look into those other species. And with that, I would welcome any questions or comments. The species by treatment, let me just pull that back up here. It would be right here. So for each species by treatment combination, it was replicated three times. So for example, when we had the two-day flood that was at the 15% volumetric water content treatment, for example, had three replicates, so three single pot replicates in there. And then this was repeated three times in total during that November through June period. Nine plants, yes. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you.